Aleichem Shalom is coming off from Eretz Yisrael. And Mishkan Kosher Maisa coming off from Eretz Yisrael. So extra is Chatshas. I'll just say over a Zach which I've got a lot to say from Eretz Yisrael, but just a very small thing which I saw. I went into a very chosh of a yid in Eretz Yisrael. I knocked on the door with about 12 o'clock. It's the time that he was having dinner. I knocked on the door. This was 2 days before Rosh Chodesh. It was on Wednesday, whatever it was, Tuesday. And he takes me inside. And he's in the middle of having his meal, his dinner. And there he's got a weighing machine, a small weighing machine. And he's also got a small watch. You know, one of these old Casio watches, you know. And he's got matzah, and he's weighing 20, he's very busy there. He's weighing 24 grams of matzah, and he's seeing how quick he can eat the 24 grams of matzah. I asked him, what's going on over here? And he says, he's preparing for the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder. And this was no game. There was no one else there in the diva. There's no one there with camcorders or any videos or anything. It wasn't going to be put online. A poshta yid, he takes out his matzahs. His doch is before Rosh Chodesh, doch he knows already after Rosh Chodesh you don't eat matzah. He was made away. And he's poshut getting used to trying to see if he can have kazayis matzah toch the achilis pras. He had a shitter because it comes to chasim sefer, it's 2 minutes, and he timed it as a bit less than 2 minutes, and he wants to see if he can get in his kazayis matzah within the time. It's just the masogon that you find in some yidden in Eretz Yisrael is merely gazach. And that is really the key to everything. If a person is just that hachona to something which is coming up, it's a different zach. When a person comes to a Leil HaSeder and all he can say over is a vertel which he remembers from the previous years, a chesed gematria or a chesed moshel of the poor man and the rich man, yeah. So then it's a feltness. Mashenkin, if a person comes prepared and he thinks about maises to give over, doch the ik of Leil HaSeder is to give over their munah, like the Moshe Shvei Shtak and Moshe Feinstein has got over the Bavusta Nusach, that the ik of the Chinuch is to give over their munah. So if it's a shtick of preparation, that is the key to everything. Just a very quick shaila which I had. I was in Eretz Yisrael from Monday till Thursday. Thursday evening was my flight. Thursday evening, it was 8 o'clock, 8:35. I left about 10 o'clock, but it was much later, right? Thursday morning, daven with the minyan, daven with the chvisa, that's Kriyas HaTorah. Do I make a brichas HaGoyimu on Thursday? Doch, I travelled on Monday.
Yes,
from Manchester to Tel Aviv.
You do
make HaGoyimu when it comes to Thursday. So Ramesh is saying you do. Is that the maskonas? Is that the maskonas? Do you say that you make a bracha of HaGoyimu on Thursday when I'm planning to come back after Thursday? What's time is that, Elam?
You've been able to see.
Speak about a case that if a person plans to go to, let's say, Australia, and on the way he stops off in Turkey for a couple of days, wherever he missed his flight, whatever it is, his stopover flight, and he's there for a couple of days, should he make a bracha in Turkey on the way to Australia? Is that what Shabru knows? Because you're on the way on the journey, you're on your way. But in our case, you can't. It's not the same case. Because over here, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael. This is where I want to be.
Around you.
Oh. So what are you going to say? Although it's not similar to the Mishnah Berurah's case, because the Mishnah Berurah is talking about on the way to where you want to be, but still, it's a round trip. Do you say, as for a round trip, doesn't deserve a bracha? Again, the Mishnah Berurah said, only if you're stopping on the way to the journey, then you don't make a bracha. But in a case where you actually want to be in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe you do make a bracha. On that, the youth I spoke to next to Shaw just now, he told me that he went to Rav Eliashiv and he asked the Shaila to Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv said, you don't make any bracha. It's on the journey. Even if you want to be in Eretz Yisrael, you taka arrive there. So how long do you have to be in Eretz Yisrael to taka make a bracha? Hagoyimo, he claims 30 days. Or like, if you're there for Pesach, then you maybe make a hagoyimo there. It's clearly you're there. But if you're on a round trip, the Moshe, someone in America wants to take a round trip around five continents, Los Angeles, and Canada, and he wants to be in every place. He wants to do a study. You don't make a bracha in every place because it's a round trip. Although he wants to be in every specific place, don't make a bracha. Similarly over here, if a person goes to Eretz Yisrael a couple of days, although he wants to be there for taka for that specific purpose, it's not considered as if he's there. It's still on his trip.
So a 2 week holiday also, it's less than 30 days.
And a chanami. Rav Eliashiv already held that once he's ready there for Pesach, he's ready there. He's settled there, shtickle. He's there for 30 days, or he's there for Pesach. He's already He hasn't got his mind on coming back. That's what Rabbi Yashiv held. And Dan Krauss wrote in Mekoy HaBrocha, he quoted this person who went to Rabbi Yashiv, Dan Krauss, Unzer Dan Krauss in Mekoy HaBrocha. He writes, I asked a Chochem Echo to go into Rabbi Yashiv to ask the Shaila, and the Maskana was that Taka, a person going for a couple of days to Israel, even a week, according to what he's saying, would not make a bracha when he's there. Rather, when he comes back, he make our goyim Taka on Shabbos, he make our goyim when he comes back. That's what Dan Krauss brings. And not only that, this same Chochem Echad told me that he was very close to Shon Shadon. Shon Shadon is a shtikala, he had shtikala guts when he was younger. And when he was a bocha in Hebron, he was a bocha in Hebron, and the Blazer Silver, anyone know the Blazer Silver from America? One of the going. And he made the trip to Israel, which in those days took about 2 weeks to get to Israel. And he went for a couple of weeks. And when he got an aliyah, I think he was a Levi, when he got an aliyah in the Yeshivas Hebron, he didn't make Agoyimu. Came in along with Shon Shadon. Shon Shadon went over to Rabbi Lezer and said, "Why do I was the Rosh Hashiva Nishkemachta Agoyimu?" And the Rosh Hashiva was very, very sharp, and he said, "I'm a Oretz. Ich bin be'emtza nasiya." He shouted at him. So this Chochem Echad was trying to tell me that he's got Sarah and Yashad that held, don't make a brocha, because it's considered part of the trip. And Rabbi Lezer Silver was also of the opinion that since he was be'emtza derech, and there he was ready for quite a long time, he travelled 2 weeks, he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael just for a couple of hours. He travelling 2 weeks, he was there for quite some time. Afila Hochi, Rabbi Lezer Silver also held that you don't make a brocha when you're there. Doch is considered a round trip, and therefore you wouldn't make a brocha when in Eretz Yisrael, right, they wait till they come back. So something like that. Okay, back into the Inyan of Shin Vav. There's a lot more to say. This can take a long time. We'll have to get back into the Inyan. Shin Vav is the Inyan of Mim Tzechavtzecha V'davadav. Now, it goes as well. Mim Tzechavtzecha V'davadav means like this. Mim Tzechavtzecha is not talking. It's doing a pa'ula, doing something which brings you closer to doing a malach. Right? If, let's say, a person wants to buy a house. He wants to buy a house. He sees a house, you know there's a house, a chais on sale, and on Shabbos, he happens to be in the area, and he wants to just look around, maybe look in the back garden if he can get there, or look in the front, check the roof and everything, if he can get in the zechus, also the shayla. Zok the Shulchan Aruch is also, there's an issa of mim sechetzecha, doing something which is going to bring you, even a sachuk, going to bring you that much closer to doing an issa of buying a house, that is considered the issa mim sechetzecha. You can't do any pa'ula of getting closer. Reading a manual of a car. Let's say a person knows that his car's a shtickle, you know, and he needs a bit of he needs to sort out the lights or something, and he's got a manual of the car. Can he read the manual of the car on Shabbos to know how to fix it after Shabbos? He's not doing anything now. He's not fixing the car. To read that manual on Shabbos because it's bringing him that much closer to doing a malacha. That's the issa mim sechetzecha. Masha'enken v'davadova is a slightly different issa. Davadova is talking. An issa which involves talking, and that means talking about an issa. If Lamosha, I say to you, you know something, I'm driving to London tomorrow. It's Shabbos, the question is, I'm driving to London tomorrow. And that is an issa of davadova. Is an issa of saying that I'm doing a melacha of the Shabbos. Let's say, I see my Shabbos, I got my shirt a bit dirty. Oh, you know, so I tell my wife, oh, I need to wash it tomorrow. I need to wash it tomorrow. I said, I have to do a malacha tomorrow, basically. You can't say on Shabbos that I'm going to be doing a malacha after Shabbos. You can't say now that I'm going to be doing a malacha. So it's a davadava. Although it's not getting you closer, mim sechetzecha is doing something which is going to get you that much closer. You know, you discuss with someone, you know, negotiate with someone. That is getting you somewhat closer to a deal, yeah? Masha'in ken over here, davadava, it's just saying an issa, that would be also on Shabbos, to say.
I'm traveling tomorrow.
So, no, the person already say, if you say I'm traveling tomorrow, it could be his mutter because traveling, I didn't say how. Maybe it's by walk. The issa of davadava is limited to when I say I'm doing an issa, I'm driving tomorrow. Someone to say, if I say I'm going to call Ramatasio, I'm going to speak to Ramatasio tomorrow, that's going to be okay. Because I didn't say I'm calling. The whole issa is when you say that I'm doing a malacha. If you say I'm calling Ramatasio tomorrow, that's going to be awesome. If you say, I'm going to speak to Ramatasiyah, although everyone knows that you can only do that via telephone, Afila Hochi is going to be Mutta. Again, it's limited to only when you're saying, I'm doing the Issa, I have to wash my clothes tomorrow. And you know what? I'm driving tomorrow. That, if you talk about an Issa, that's the Issa of Davadama. Interesting that the Peliyot writes that V'davar davar is the most relevant thing not to do on Shabbos. Because don't forget, when we don't do malacha, when we don't switch on the light on Shabbos, why don't we switch on the light on Shabbos? Because Hashem, when He created the world on Shabbos, He didn't do it. But how did He create the world? He didn't do it with the Maisim, He did it with Dibburim. All the Sheishas Hayomim He did with Dibur. He said things and it happened. So when it came to Shabbos, He stopped saying. So too when it comes to us. During the week, we can say what we like. Well, not Lashon Hara and all that. But when it comes to Shabbos, then the ikka is to stop from the dibur. That is the ikka tachlis of the Shvisa. Doch, stopping from the Purim is just in our terms. We stop doing maisons. But Be'etzem Hashem, the way He made the world was diburim. So it's very relevant to stop the dibur. That's the ikka or tachlis of the Shvisa. Interesting to know that the issa of saying diburim asurim or mimse chavzacha is an issa, not derabbanon. It's a higher level than derabbanon. It's an issa midiri kabbalah. It's already mentioned in the Novi. It may not be deraisa, but it's higher than the derabbanon. Kuntais. You can have a person who can switch off a light on Shabbos. Switching off a light on Shabbos is basically the kemat l'riva peskim derabbanon. Why? Because it's malachah shein tzrich l'gufa. You don't need the kibbah, you don't need the ashes. The case in the Gemara where the kibbah is really awesome, the medaraisa, is when you extinguish a fire in order to have the coals, the charcoal. But if you don't do it for that purpose, then it's just a malachah shein tzrich l'gufa. You just don't want the fire. That's how mechabes on it is. It's takapot, and it's malachah shein tzrich l'gufa. It's medarabono. So it's a derabono. Masha'in, can a person who says, you know something, you know, I need to wash that after Shabbos, it's a derik kabbalah. That's more common than switching off a light. It's interesting to know where things get put. In mitzal halacha, one could be more common than the other. Hagam, it looks much more simpler.
Why are you in the dark? Could you ask to go on Shabbos to put the light on you if you're in the dark? Like
that? Oh, that's a good shayla. We'll have to discuss that. Now, let's just move on. Let me just give you another example of Munzeh Chavzacha. Let's say you're making an extension. And so again, Munzeh Chavzacha, if you want to look around your extension to take another view around the extension to make sure everything is done okay, that's again going to be awesome Shabbos. It's doing something which is going to bring you closer to finalize what you're doing during the week, which is usually Osa, Binyan. Let's say you want to walk to the train station. We had this in Yeshiva. Because I'm not saying Kippur. The trains were very, very schwach. The latest train was a few minutes after Nacht. So some Olam wanted to go without anything. Yeshiva Bochum. They wanted to walk on in Kippur, safe in Kippur, after Hansatanis. They wanted to walk, make their way close to the train station. They had to make it, they have Masad already. Is that an Issa of Mimsa Chavzacha? You're doing something which is bringing you closer to doing an Issa. Is there a problem of actually walking to the train station on a Kippur, whatever, Shabbos in Kippur, whatever, yeah, on Shabbos, walk to the train station, and then when it comes to Mazar Shabbos, you jump on the train. Is there a problem with that? It's an Issa. Because it's Mimsa Chavzacha, you're doing something which is bringing you closer to doing a Malacha. Yeah, as I state, Mashenkin, you can go there and hang around outside the area. That's not nikah, because the whole issa is only if it's nikah that you're doing it l'shem kach. If someone told me that he was in the process of buying a house, and he just wanted to, you know, between the completion, between the when he gave the deposit and when he finalized, he just wanted the extra feeling that he's got the right place. So he walked around there whenever he could get a chance to. He walked around the area to make sure that it's taka good for him. Yeah, and on Shabbos, his shayla was, can you walk around there on Shabbos just to get the feeling that it's good for him? That's echo okay, because it's not nikah. Anyone see him going around that area, it won't say, you know, he's looking into the house. No, it's not nikah, he's going for a walk. It has to be a matzah where it's nikah. He stands there like a property guy. He stands there, he stands in the front, looks at the roof. That's like an issa of mimsa chavzacha. It has to be that it's nikah mitoch maisov, that he's doing it the shein kach, to get him closer to an issa. So that would be another case where a person wants to go to a train station. That would be awesome. But if he hangs around outside the train station, it's not nikah, that's okay. The kind of person go to his office. He's, again, not do anything. On Shabbos, go to his office. Obviously, he's within the area or whatever, so he gets the key. He sits inside the office without doing anything. Doesn't want to do anything. As soon as Shabbos comes in, he needs to do his emails. Can he go to his office on Shabbos? Again, Mimsa Chavzacha, he's doing a pu'ula, which brings him that much closer to doing malacha, that's awesome. Again, he can hang around outside, again, it's not nikah. Someone seeing him won't see that he's doing it for l'shem kach. That would be mutter again. That's why, you know, when I was young, I remember reading a story from the bedtime story. There was a bocha, I'm sure you've heard this. There was a child that he was walking in Yerushalayim and he saw a coin. He saw a golden coin. And what can he do with a golden coin? He was very poor. On Shabbos he can't pick it up. So he covered it with his foot. Right? For a couple of hours. And then Chisa Rabbah came to him and said, what are you doing? He pushed him away and he saw the coin. He ran off with the coin. Remember that, Maisa? And then he went to the Rav, and the Rav said, one of these people, and the Rav said, if I give you a golden coin, if you give me the zechus of Shabbos, that you didn't take the coin on Shabbos, if you give me that zechus, and you didn't take the golden coin. That Maisa, the Chayra, stepping on a coin till the end of Shabbos, would you say that would be mutter? Again, this person was covering the coin in order that after Shabbos he'll be able to take the coin. Is that a problem? Mimsa chavsacha? Again, it's not nikah. It's not nikah. It's not nikah. Therefore, the ma'isa is okay. So again, it has to be nikah. Then it's okay. Then it's a problem. Now there is a heter of a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah involved, if a person is bringing himself closer to a malacha, but the malacha involves a mitzvah, that's going to be okay. The Moshe B'Shem Zam speaks about a case: a person who wants to buy a deer in Eretz Yisrael off a goy. Buying a deer in Eretz Yisrael from a goy is a mitzvah. A very shtaka mitzvah, which we'll see later in Sif Yud Aleph, is a mitzvah to buy a deer from an Israel from a goy. Dr. Shlomo Zalman, you can actually view the property on Shabbos in Israel from a goy because mimsa chavsacha is muta b'moka mitzvah. So, answer that. Shlomo Zalman wants a taina. Again, we have that the yisoid. Moka mitzvah, mimsa chavsacha is muta. You can have another case. If a person wants to taka, look outside and study how he can make an extension and even discuss it with someone, to see, let's say he invites someone around, a contractor, to a Shabbos meal, and he tells him, you know, I'm thinking of making an extension. Can we discuss the extension? If he's making a sukkah, and he's discussing where he can fit the sukkah, then he can. Because, doch, it's a sukkah, Shlomo Zalman again. He's discussing a mitzvah. Discussing mitzvah is a mutter. If let's say you have someone by a meal, and he's a mumch and hilchas mezuzah, and you want to discuss with him, where shall I stick a mezuzah? Where shall I put mezuzah here? Put mezuzah? Putting up a mezuzah is an issa. Is a gomer, is a deraisa of boina. Yeah? So sticking up a mezuzah is an issa. But since it involves a mitzvah, so we say, again, all these cases are going to be mutter. So that's another heter in mimsa chavsacha. But otherwise, you would have the issa of doing something which gets you closer. It's another case of mitzvah would be sifrei kodesh. You're allowed to get yourself closer to looking into which sforim you want to buy. And I remember in May, then a Feldheim made a massive sale. And they had loads of sforim in different areas with a small marquee. And on Shabbos, just before Shabbos, they covered all the sforim with a sheet. They went around the areas and they covered it with a sheet. Every safe was about 5 shekel or something. They had a pot there and then you just put the money inside there. Me'ikah din, they didn't have to cover that. Because people are allowed to look at sforim to see what they want. And then after Shabbos, go and buy it. If I, let's say, wanted to look in that marquee, call it, on Shabbos afternoon, after Nachta Shabbos, I want to see, maybe that safe I need, maybe that safe I want, yeah? It would be mutter to look at what sforim they have in that marquee, to then, after Shabbos, go and buy it. Again, you won't be able to look at the prices, that's an issa, you're not allowed to read the prices, that's another issa. Right. But because over here, it's a mitzvah, sifrei kodesh is a mitzvah to buy sforim and to read from sforim, it would be mutter to get yourself closer to buying the sforim by looking at what you want. So me'ikah din, they wouldn't have to cover it. Maybe it's good that they covered it because people are not seeing the prices. But me'ikah din, that would be okay. So interesting, mimsa chavsacha is the issa to get yourself closer to doing a malacha. But if it's a tzorich mitzvah, then it would be mutter. Go
ahead.
Yeah. Sorry? Seems not. Yeah, Rambam speaks about a case where sometimes even
Shlomo Weisbart.
Last week we spoke about very interesting halachas about Moshi, if you got insects on your letters. Someone came to me after the shir last week, actually. I must tell you, so let's just speak about this over here, insects on letters. So he wanted to know about what you can do. So the Maisa, to wash it under water, is a problem, yeah? Because you're going to kill the insect. And we said the Maisa, all ways of killing an insect is also to do on Shabbos. So to wash it under water is a problem. What you can do is, what we said last week, what you can do is you can look by the light, you hold up the leaf, let's say the lettuce leaf by the light, have a look if you can see an insect on there. If you see an insect on there, then you can cut the piece round with the insect. So that way there's no problem with boira, you're not doing any shaker, you're just taking the thing off and leaving it out of sight. Someone came to me last week and said to me, it's an interesting point actually, said to me, if you're not sure it's infested, can you wash it underwater? That's a good time there, yeah? He said, you don't know, it's a Dovah Shemis Kavi, you don't know. Are you allowed to wash it underwater? Said, okay, what do you say, Rabbi Yisai? You don't have any there. You divide it, you don't have any, you don't have any insects there. Can you have any insects there? Before checking, you don't bother checking. You just put it under water, you rinse it under water, and you hope you're there. So he said to me, the mice is not a Dovah Shemis Kavi, you're not a chavim for it, the mice, you don't know it's there, it's mutter. What? So I spoke to Rob today, the mice is a big tortoise actually. Actually, the funny thing is, the makoy for this is from Hilchas Seder. We've seen it a few times, what? It's motzu, yeah. The thing is, I must tell you, it's motzu, it's quite common. Now, we had this in Hilchas Seder, I tell you, we never understood this properly, but it's cloth from Hilchas Seder. If a person's got a kaveris, a beehive, and he puts a wrapping round the beehive, the machaber says it's mutter. The machaber's words are important. Can we read it out to you? It's very important. This, and the Rav told me today this, actually, it's mamish. I can't believe it. I'm in this Indian, I forgot it. And he told me, what's in this? He told me this. But in Shin Tez Zayin, in Dalit, it says mafurish, this halacha. Someone's got a kuveres, a beehive, which he wants to put a wrap around it. Proshimach says, you're allowed to spread a sheet round a matzeres. Ovilvad sheloy yichavim. You must not have kavan to tefer. That means, even though the animal can get out, because it's not mummy's tracks, there's an opening, like the Mishnah says, even so, since it's very unlikely it's going to go out, if your machaman locks it, it's osa. The only time it's mutter is if it's a wide open space. So he said to me, Claw, you see that if you're machaman to do a cleaning, even though it's not definite what's going to happen, that's osa. It's posh, it's also that case. To rinse it under water, if it's lightly it's got letters on there, it's posh, it's also do. The eters will do, you are machamed, because if it's there, you want to get rid of it. If you're there, you want the insect to come off. If it goes in the water, you're going to get killed. That's posh, you can't expect an insect to live in the water. But that's what I'm telling you, that's even though it's an opposite ratio, if you're machamed to do this thing of getting rid of insects, what you're doing, of course, is getting rid of insects. You're rinsing your letters with a carbon of getting rid of insects, that's also to do. There's no other way of cleaning without killing it. It's not possible for you. I hear what he says, very nice. It's true. It's not true. I hear your kavod is, it's a joke what you're saying, because you know that water runs over, it's going to kill it. It's not correct. His kavod is not cleaning it for the dirt. His kavod is to clean from insects. He's doing a badika, he wants to clean it from the insects. So the meister, that's what he's doing. Could be not. It's a good chance. It's not. If it's alive and you want to get rid of it, that's what you're trying to do as well. You've got in your kavanah, if it's alive as well, you want to get rid of it, that's all included in your kavanah. I think it's a posh to that. There isn't. Do it before Shabbos. Do it before Shabbos. Or the only etzah is to look at the leaf first, check there's nothing on it, and then you can wash it. If there's no insect on it, you can wash it. So you check it first, there's no insect on it, there's no problem. Yeah, it's hard to do. The mice is best before Shabbos. Okay, everybody. So that was, I just wanted to clear that bit out over here. Let's move on to now Hilchas Lice on Shabbos. Sorry, I was a bit scratchy over Shabbos. I don't know. One of my children actually was very scratchy over Shabbos. Did he know what a shi I'm giving this one? No, didn't he? He looked at a notice board. But he was scratching a bit. Anyway, Boshama, the Vaila, I haven't looked too carefully. So this is an interesting thing, this over here. Kinim on Shabbos. What happens? What's come out from here? So the Gemara says clearly that a person is allowed to kill a kin on Shabbos. It's actually halach in Shulchan Aruch. Shin Tez Zayin Siv Tes. Parosh Anikra. Also, Elikin Rabbi. Sorry. Also. Okay. Avol kino. That's what we translate as a louse. Mutter lahorga. You're allowed to kill it. Now, what's happened over here to Hilchas Shochet? Up to now, we've been telling that any insect, and we said already last week, a chilish actually, we said, the Gemara says there's no chilit between killing an insect or a camel. The mice and the teens are shom is also, there's no difference. And we said already, we had a big shy last week, is there, someone's got a chilish, he needs to kill an animal on Shabbos. Is it better to kill a small animal, a chicken, or a cow? So we're busy with this last week, is there a difference? In the teens are shom passion, there's no chilish. The mice are passion, everything is also to kill. All of a sudden, here we come along with a chiddush, that a kinah is allowed to be killed on Shabbos. Why is that mutter? What's happened to Hilchos Shochet?
So Mishnah Berurah says over here,
you better all sit down, man. I hold on tight. This is what we say. Lam l'ches. Hatam de machal kina ben parish l'kinahu. The reason why we distinguish between the parish is the flea, and the kina. The chol melechus shalos mishkan yafinan lod. All the melechus of mishkan, all the melechus shalos learn from the mishkan. Yafinan misas kol balechayim lechiv mishchitas elim odomim. We learn out the issur of shochet from the case of the rams. Shayim and mishkan, which we're saying, you have to kill them to get the leather. You have to get the skin. But lav dafka de shchita, we said already, is lav dafka by shchita. Who adin are they akor v'chanika? You hit it, you strangle it, or nechira, whatever you do to it, you kill it. Kimmich boy de zen, this is a shomachayv. V'amrinon, listen to this carefully, boy say. V'amrin, the Gemara says a drosh like this. Mo elim, mo domim, just like these rams. Sheporim v'romim, they multiply, they have, they come from mothers and fathers. Af kol sheporim v'romim. La fuke kino. This excludes a kino. The eno bom is zochon a kiva. A kino does not come from a zochon a kiva. Let's close your share. End of story. Good?
Yeah.
Fantastic. The problem is the achronim are a bit kasha. Let's just carry on with it. He says, "Kiva, I feel kino. The ain't a bomb is zochen a kiva, and a bomb is there. Comes from Schwitz. It doesn't come from a zochen a kiva. Meila, that is no, not subject to this shechet. Shechet is that it comes from a zochen a kiva. It came from what?
The chicken as well.
The egg, my friend, came from the egg gets fertilized from a zoch, yeah.
No.
What?
That's why
there's no child. There's no child inside there. The reason why a battery egg is there's no child inside there is because there's no zocher there. That's my friend, that's why it's alright. I mean, that's why there's no zocher inside there. But everything comes from a zocher and a kever. So a kinah does not come from a zocher and a kever. So, yeah, you with me? You don't look very happy there.
These eggs can't hatch, they're
not hatched. You could the chicken sit there until tomorrow morning.
It
has to come from the cave. The maestro, we don't have the blood spot. Oh, blood spot we don't have is the gazelle. So, shall we don't? The maestro,
no.
Yeah. So, as I say in the Gemara, it's clear, kino's mutter. The problem is, achronim are kasha, it's a bit kasha this. I don't have to phrase this in the right way, but the kasha is that the people who know what's going on, a kino comes from Zoch and the cave. So, what?
Thanks.
It comes from a zoch and a kiva. So this is a big shaila. So the ma'aser, what happens now? There's a some achronim want to tie in that because of this, it must be that our kinim are not the same kinim as it used to be. It must be the metzias of our kinim is different.
What?
It's trying. And once it's trying, those are mummies different. So here as well, we want to tie in that our kinim might be different. Therefore, this halach and shulchan aruch, that a person ought to kill a kinah, does not apply nowadays. As I say, some achronim learn this. The Meister, many achronim say it's not right. And the kinah is the same nowadays as it always has been. It's never changed. So to be kasha, either kasha comes from zochah and kiva. So the Meister, a lot of tools with this kasha. Some learn, I think of Destler brings this actually. The Meister, for honest knows, Destler says pshat is that Chazal says God doesn't come from zochah and kiva. So what's pshat? The terrace is that it's so small, it's not nikkel ayin. A person can't see the zochah and kiva. Something which is not Nikola iron in Chazal's eyes is not called come from a zochah and a kiva. And maybe according to that, this heter would apply even nowadays. Others also learn like this. They've got various explanations which are given. The Maaser of Shlomo Zalman takes on that one can take on the Ikar Din is that nowadays our kinim are the same. And therefore, the heter of the kinim which we have nowadays applies the same as in the Shulchan Aruch. A person could actually take our kinah, squash it with one's fingers, or put it in water, you could kill it. There's no issa. The Maaser, some are a bit more machmen. They tie in, one should be a bit more careful. But the Maaser, general consensus of opinion seems to be that me'ikah ha'din, a person can kill a kinah. Yeah? That's what it seems to many achronim. Many achronim seem to say this. Some are machmen. I can't dispute it. Some say that the Messiah has changed nowadays. And therefore, if one wants to be machmen, not to kill it mamish, just take it out and then throw it out wherever, one can do that. But the Maaser, many achronim are machmen and say that the kinim nowadays are the same.
You should say the
Well, Now, even if it comes from the Zeh, the Maaseh, Zeh comes from Zochan the Keva. That's Matzias. The Eitz are laid by from come from the Keva. You can't argue with that. The Shaila is, how can we say it's not? So Chazal Baruch Kotchum says it's not. We have to fit in why. So the Shaila many Achronim say. I'll tell you what they say. What you're saying is actually another Mahalach. I'll tell you again, the Mahalach that many Achronim learn, or Destler learns like this, is that once that the voice is so small, it's not Nikhila Ayin that comes from the Keva, therefore it's not called Bom Zochan the Keva. Others say what you're saying. I've added that the Keva lays the egg, but the void, it's different to a normal case. Normally, once the egg is laid, then the child comes out. Here, you need a Zeya to produce it. If there's no Zeya there, it won't come out. The egg won't hatch, and there's nothing. So many Achraim learn, that's what's over here, that you need the Zeya to make it. It's not called coming bomb, it's not going to cave only. It needs something else, and therefore it's mufka from the pasha of Hariga, and you're allowed to kill it. What does that mean, you're allowed to kill it? So the Maaseh, practically speaking, someone never has got a child's got to kill him on Shabbos. If you take each one out and kill it, I mean, you'll be there till the end of Shabbos probably if you do that. So it's not very practical. So what can you do? The normal way of doing it is to take a very thin comb, which is especially a lice comb, that's a very good, a lice comb, and you put it through the hair, and you pull out all the lice. That, what you ask from Shabbos, what is that? I tell you, it's like my plumber. You ask him to do one job, he comes up with 100 problems in the boiler. I want to know one problem that could be with what that is. You almost told me, someone told me boiler. Someone told me what else? What else is there? Toilers. Chirish. Put our heads. Nice, you're right. There are a few problems. Normally, the normal problem that is goises. When a person uses fine comb, it's very, very likely. Now what's going to happen is that the hair is going to come out. It's very, 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 it's like a sick race, really, that, yeah? So my answer is a serious problem with goises. Boira is actually not a problem. They were not. Boira is not a problem. And we said this before, it's actually a Mishnah, actually. The Mishnah says, I'm a fale kelov min a kinim. You're allowed to clean out your begodim from kinim on Shabbos. You can't do it by the nair, but your maestro is allowed to do it. I look around to boira. The teretz is, I think we've said this once before, that boira is only when you've got two items mixed with each other. When you've got something so choshuv, the item is not considered mixed. When you've got a person, a kino is not mixed with a person. The person is so choshuv, the kino is bottled to the... It's got no significance. It's not called moruv with the person. It's nothing. It's like a person who's got a dirty plate, and he washes the plate on Shabbos. No one says that's boira. The plate is so choshuv compared to the dirt, that the dirt is insignificant. It's not called moruv with the plate. And therefore, there's no issue of boira when you wash a plate. And who adin, when a person bangs a beged, for example, has got kinim inside, and he knocks it, all the kinim fly out. That's not boira at all, because the beged is too choshe for the kinim. And therefore, that's mutter to do. Who adin, on a person, when a person takes out the kinim from a person, let's say he takes out with his finger, he pulls out kinim, there's no problem, it's a boira. The only issue is goises. That is a serious problem. Goises is problematic. So it's not very practical to use a very thin comb in through the hair and try and get all the nits out and the eggs and everything. It's not very practical. So what's the other eater? Shampoo. The other eater is the shampoo. To use this shampoo. The other thing with the shampoo is not so posh. I mean, it's mutter, the mitre shampoo, but it's not so practical because what you have to do is you have to wash your hair and put the solution inside and then rub your hair with the solution. The thing is, afterwards, you're going to have to clean your hair. You're not clean your hair, you're dry your hair. Now, the problem is you rub with a towel over your hair. What's the problem with that? So you've got a problem with seichet. So it's like going to the mikvah on Shabbos. Those who go to the mikvah on Shabbos have to be careful. And I said they don't rub their hair. So you put the towel on carefully and you push over patches or whatever. That would be mutter to do. You could do that with a shampoo. Whether that would work, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it works, the shampoo. It might take a bit of time to work. And it might go in. You might have to rub it. I'm not sure. I asked someone to show me a sample, actually. I didn't get around to seeing it. But the shampoo ate it. It's technically, it's allowed to be done.
Washing hair has got no problem with sheathing itself. No. It's actually washing.
No, you're pouring water on your hair, you're not doing well waiting.
Rubbing your hair with
you rub your hair. Any time you've got water in your hair and you rub it, then you've got skater. But when you pour water over your hair, you don't have to rub it.
Shampoo your hair, you don't just pour water over your hair. It's nice. You've got to rub it in, it doesn't go in the jar. No way of shampooing anybody is to rub it in your hair.
It's also interesting. You take shampoo and you rub it into your hair. Let's say you take the shampoo itself and you rub it into your hair, that's going into your hair, it's not taking out.
There's no problem with skater.
Putting it into your hair is not skater. To take the shampoo and rub it into your hair is not a shayla of skita. You're putting it into your hair, not extracting anything. The shayla is when you take it out.
The hair, you're taking the hair out as well.
Why are you taking the hair out?
You're scratching your hair, it's getting ice out. It's also going to pull the hair down.
If that's the one on shampoo, it's a problem, Taka. If that's Taka the case, if you have to rub it in and you're going to pull hairs out, Boshem, I haven't had this one. I've got Boshem. One of the advice of rubbing so much hair on is the matter. So this thing, what? Yeah.
Shampoo
can be thick as well. Could be a problem. Yeah. It's very thick. First, we diluted the water. I think you put the shampoo on straight. I think you diluted the water, as far as I know. Boshem, I'm not a bocky in this. I must tell you, this side, I'm not a bocky in. Whether, as far as I know, I think you diluted the water. There is such a thing. You can get a spray. There's such a thing as a spray. That's the correct use. A spray. A person sprays on his hair, and that spray makes a film over it, and then it gets It stays over, and then that kills the kinim and whatever. That's what to do. That's taka, no problem at all. But shampooing could be a problem. That could be a taka, sometimes a problem. yeah, thin liquid. Yeah, that you could do. Yeah, I'm saying, practically speaking, the best eitzah would be normally the comb. I'm saying a comb is not practical on somebody, you can't use a comb. So what comes out of the ma'asa, what?
If you use a comb, you do it very, very slowly. And as soon as you can feel it tugging.
Very hard. Have you seen that comb? I've seen it. It's very, very thin. It's mummy. It has to be thin, yeah? It has to be very, very thin. The combs, the bristles are very, very thin. I may have to try it out, maybe. You know me, I'm going to try it out, maybe. I think it's Kamap Sik Resha. I would have thought that when you use that comb, some hair's going to come out. It's very, very hard. What?
It depends what kind of hair she has. If it's like a straight kind of hair, then it's much less likely than the.
Yeah, Tanga, even a straight hair, you're pulling it, it's very, very tight. The bristles are very, very tight. It's metal normally, yeah? It's very, very tight. I mean, you could see, you could put even if you put a normal thread through it, I think it'll catch it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try and try it. But I think it's impossible to pull it out without a sit risk. What?
It's regular.
It
has, you see, it has.
I don't need to
think that's
not anymore. They used to during weekdays.
You say you could do it without any hairs coming off?
Then I wasn't careful, but when I wanted to be careful, to do it very, very slowly.
You could do it without any hairs coming off?
Have you tried
it in Phoenix? I'm going to give it a try, Benedia. That's a good point. I hear what you're saying. If it's taka true that you can do it without putting the hairs off, then it stops the race. I find it very chillish because it's very, very tight. It stops the race again. It stops the race. If it's not opposite race, it's not to you. You're not Muhammad to pull out the hairs at all. That could be better. So, Rabbi said, what we just said this again, so the Maisa, we said a big chillish over here. That first of all, the Shulchanos is clear that kino is mutter to kill on Shabbos. That's a klo halach and Shulchanos. No one disputes that halacha. That kino is mutter. The only problem is, the Shulchanos says the reason is, because it's not part of a rabbi, it doesn't come from Zochon the Kaver. The Shaila is that nowadays, the Chayit Sinai does come from Zochon the Kaver. So some Taka Machmen, they say that our kinim are different to what used to be, and therefore one's not allowed to kill kinim. One's not, the Heter does not apply anymore. That's how some Achorin learn. And others say, and myself, others the same, the reason why it's not called Borm is Zochon the Kaver is either Pshai is because it's not Nikola Ayin, it's not recognizable to the eye, or Pshai is that you need the Zeya to complete it. And without the Zeya completing it, it won't work, therefore it's not considered Borm is Zochon the Kaver. If you have to kill it, the master said, so the eitzah is to use a thin spray, is the best eitzah. And I said, just use a thin spray, let it settle on there for a bit of time, kill it, and then you can dab with a towel, not rubbing it, in order to get the hair out. If you could use a shampoo in that way, that's also okay to do, if you could. But I said, that's a practical thing, and now we have to check out whether this comb is going to pull out hairs. Okay, that's what you're saying.